Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here until 11 o'clock, so feel free to stick around. 860-522-9842 is the number. And support the Salvation Army. We do have a link on our Facebook pages and our Computer Talk with Tab pages. If you'd like to donate and help some folks in need here in Connecticut, the Salvation Army does a great job. And the Holiday Store has been going for 30-some-odd years now doing this. So it's a great partnership, and we're happy to be a part of it. And I want you guys to have a way to donate easily, quickly, safely, securely. It's just through a link, and you can make a donation and help people out. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Cheryl in Prospect next. What's happening there, Cheryl?
Okay, I like to watch NBC News, NBC Connecticut News on my computer, and I use Firefox.
All right.
And what's been happening is that when I go to do that, there's nothing there for some reason. And I click on the things I have to do, the NBC Connecticut little arrow on the home on their home page, and then it brings you to another page where you have to, you know, click on the volume and click on the thing to make the picture bigger. And for some reason, it hasn't been working for the past few days, and I had to go use Safari.
Oh, so you use a different browser, and that solved it?
Well, yeah, I can watch it on Safari, but I can't use Firefox.
Well, you solved your problem. That was very ingenious of you. You realized that the browser was the problem, it seems. It could be that.
Right, and it's up to date.
Yeah, so it could be because Firefox has a lot of ad blocking in there. It could be that simply NBC 30 says no video for you because your browser is blocking our ads, and Safari may not. That could be it. Could be as simple as that.
You don't get it when you watch it on the computer.
You don't?
No.
Well, that doesn't sound effective for them.
Well, I'm trying it here on my computer.
Yes.
And when I go, if I use Chrome, and I do have an ad blocker in Chrome.
Yep.
If I use that, it just shows me the box where the video would be, and there's an error inside.
Right.
Now, if I go to Edge.
Yeah, Edge, yep.
I don't have an ad blocker in there.
And it works.
And it's now allowing me to load the site. I'm going to see if I can get the video because I do have to log in.
I bet you it has something to do with that.
To my provider. So, yeah, I think that might be what the problem is.
Yeah. So you can just use Safari and keep going, or you could use a different browser again. But I would bet you something within Firefox is doing something that NBC 30 would prefer it not do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's blocking your location. Maybe it's there's lots of information that these outlets want about you so that they can then market to you or sell your information to folks who want to market to you. So I would bet you that's the reason. And if it's working, Cheryl, you're all set. I mean, use Safari.
Yeah, I'll have to stick with Safari.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, because
Because
what you don't want to do is go tampering with Firefox just to make it work with one site.
Right.
Because then now you're compromising your privacy everywhere that you go in Firefox. That's why if one site is troublesome, you use just one other browser for it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, we like that.
Yeah, I know it. Well, I hope I'll just keep using Safari then for now until Firefox decides to do, you know, change its ways.
Well,
sometimes that does it too. When they do updates, they might change out stuff too.
That does happen. Yeah. But we have a story that I'm going to bring up about what Chrome is going to start doing. So we'll see what happens.
And that happens every time you update your iPhone. When you go in and do software updates, things change on you all the time.
Yep, it's brand new soup. So.
Yeah, and I make sure I do that stuff anyway because I learned that a long time ago from work, listening to you guys, and it works. So.
Yep. Sounds good, Cheryl.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and I hope you both have a very nice holiday, and we'll talk to you next year if I need any help.
All right, we're here for you. You too.
You too.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye. So just so you know, the news article I'm talking about, this is a brand new news from Chrome. Chrome is going to start blocking websites from tracking us. So
right.
This is something that most other web browsers have been doing forever. So Google is going to start blocking third-party cookies for 1% of people using the Chrome web browser.
It's a test.
This is only a test. So starting Thursday, the browser will block third-party cookies for 1% of its users on computers and Android phones. And it's Google's Privacy Sandbox project. Now, for most other browsers like Safari, Mozilla Firefox, Edge, and Brave, they've been blocking cookies years ago. But, of course, Google needs to know who and what and where and when you're going and what you're doing. And cookies are the best way to do it. And, of course, then your other websites are like, oh, I see, Dennis, you went and looked at The Verge just before you came over to The Register. And The Register, you know, they track all that information and they collect it about us. And so they're going to begin blocking it. So if you want to use a more private browser like Brave and what have you, those guys have been doing it for a whole lot longer.
Right.
And 1%, I mean, thanks, guys. Not 1%. I mean, 1% is probably a big number, but still. They're going to just tiptoe into blocking these cookies from tracking us. Thanks, Google. We'll put a link up there for you to read that. Let's get back to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're going to go to Joe out there in Berlin. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have an issue with Outlook. Last Thursday, for whatever reason, I lost my connection to Comcast. And I couldn't get online. And multiple phone calls. And they finally reset my password. And I've been able to get on with my desktop, change the password there, and I've been able to get Outlook and get my Explorer working.
All right.
On my laptop, I changed to the new password, and it still keeps telling me we couldn't log on to the incoming IMAP server. Please check your email address and password and try again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's more than just that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did I do wrong here?
Well, you didn't do anything wrong. They might have changed something on their end.
They might have. What you might want to do is take a look in your Outlook profile, which has the server settings and everything in it, and make sure that they're current.
Right. So, but you have to go to Comcast first.
Right.
See what they require you to put in for your SSL cert, your ports.
Right. And we can also post an article about that, too. I think we've done that in the past.
Yeah.
We can post that. The other thing that you might want to do is take a look at what's stored in Credential Manager in Windows as the password and username for that account and make sure it's correct there, too.
Right.
And we can post an article about how to do that.
Well, can I just not copy them from my desktop that works?
You should be able to, ideally, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Double check those settings and make sure they're the same.
That's what I did, and the laptop still doesn't work.
Well, right. That's why it could be that credential thing where
yeah,
the old
credential manager
being
yeah.
sent over.
We'll post
it. Where do I find a credential manager?
You can click on the start button and then type credential. And then one of the things you'll see is credential manager. You open it up and it's going to be a Windows credential.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a web credential. It will be Windows. There's two tabs inside that box. And you're going to click on the right tab, which says Windows credentials.
And you want to look then under that for Outlook, right?
For your Outlook credential. And it will have as a username something like your email address.
Right.
And I suspect that there's something in that that isn't right.
All right. Okay. I will do that. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Joe.
Okay, bye.
Right, bye-bye. Yeah. Changing that email password. You think it's just simple. But most likely something happened on the other end over at Comcast. And it updated or changed something with their IMAP servers or who knows what. They probably sent like four emails saying, hey, by the way, we're going to have a change here. And nobody ever does that.
Yeah, it happens.
As waiting for your calls to come in, 860-522-9842 is the number. I want to bring up this article. So something happened. Dropbox kind of got some bad news. Basically, there's a story here on the Register about the truth about Dropbox opening up your files to AI and the loss of trust in tech. So here it is. Your info won't be harvested for training is the new your private chatter won't be used for ads. So when we put our stuff out in the cloud, right, for years and years and years, Google would give you your free email box, but they also would read your email.
Yeah.
And we told you they were reading your email, and you guys didn't seem to care. This is the same kind of thing. I guess there was, and this is quote-unquote misinformation. Cloud storage biz Dropbox spent time on Wednesday trying to clean up a misinformation spill because someone was wrong on the internet. So basically somebody said that because Dropbox is going to introduce a new set of AI tools, that they were going to then look at all the data in the Dropbox folders that people have put there to, quote unquote, train its AI, which, of course, would be creepy and wrong. However, if you didn't pay for the service and it said we can do whatever we want with your data in the EULA that you didn't read, don't cry to anybody about it when you stick it up there in the cloud.
Right.
All right. So if you're paying for the service, however, you should have some expectation of privacy. But even then, you may not. So keep that in mind, too. And by the way, those EULAs can change anytime they want.
Right.
Send a new link out. EULA comes accepted or you're not going to get access to your data.
Okay.
And now you have access to your data again. But they may, too. So there's this whole article about this where they're saying they're not going to be using your data to train its AI currently. That whole thought process, like I said, can change tomorrow. So when you start putting this stuff up there in the cloud, and especially when you use AI to try to have it do things for you, when you put information into it, just by doing so, they say it's theirs, right? You're the one using their tool to come up with whatever paragraph or story or process or procedure you want to come up with. I don't think it's yours anymore. I think it's theirs.
Yeah.
So if you're having it write a story or whatever it is, a poem or what have you, I think once you put it in the AI and have it do it, it's not yours. So don't go crying to anybody when nobody wants to pay you for it. So we'll put the link up here for you guys. You can take a look at this. They say they're not doing it now to train their AI, but we hope that's the case going forward. But again, you put it in the cloud, it may not be yours anymore.
Yeah.
And the other thing about the cloud is you found this with Kim.com, right? Remember that guy who was putting... He had these servers, these storage areas. It was like a Dropbox. It was a backup service like a Dropbox or a storage service. And the feds went after them because turns out people were taking copywritten material like movies and music and storing it there on Kim.com servers. And what did the feds do? They took all his servers, whether you were using it for legitimate reasons or not. So that cloud went poof, gone. And if you were a company where you put the data there, the feds had it.
Yep.
So again, you no longer had the access to it. So then when people's computers crashed, they went to go and restore their data. They couldn't because the data was no longer able to be accessed. So keep that in mind when you put it out there outside of your purview. Let's go to your calls here. We're going to go to, I think it's Dennis and or Denise. Denise in Wyndham. Hey, Denise. My clouds are in
there.
Go ahead.
Hi. Last year I replaced my HP 15 laptop with another HP 15 laptop with more storage.
All right.
And on the old computer, I had a Seagate external hard drive attached to it, which I saved everything that I could.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering now with the new laptop, if I plug that external hard drive into the new one, am I going to overwrite what's already on there?
So you kind of broke up a little bit. Try to say that again to us.
I'm wondering if I plug the new Seagate, the new laptop into the Seagate external hard drive.
Yeah.
If it will overwrite what's already on the hard drive, the external hard drive.
No.
Or vice versa.
Mm-mm. Not unless you tell it to. So you're just gonna you're gonna plug it in, and it's gonna be another storage target, and whatever you had on there would still be there from the last laptop.
Okay.
And you can then make a directory, new folder, new data since, or whatever, if you wanted to differentiate between the old data and the new data. But nothing's going to do anything unless you tell it to, right?
Okay.
Were you just using it as a repository, or were you using a backup software to do something with it? Was it backing up, or was it just a simple copy and paste, or was it just a regular file structure? How was that drive being used?
I have no clue. Sorry.
All right. It's okay. It's a fair answer. Ask me how to make a souffle. I have the same answer. So here's the thing, right? So you had this drive on the other computer, and you're not sure what you were using it for?
Well, I was using it to back up all of the documents. In my spare time, I am a writer, so I was trying to make sure that all of my manuscripts were backed up in multiple places.
Good.
So that I could not have to worry about a system failure.
All right. Well, you still got to worry about it, but good work. So you were using the Windows backup to back them up? Were you simply doing a copy and a paste? How are you backing up those manuscripts?
It seemed to happen automatically when I turned the machine on.
All right.
Or off.
You had
one of the two.
You had a notice that said, hey, backing up your data?
Yes.
Okay. So you were using some software tool, or it could have been within Windows itself, I guess. So that drive, when you plug it into the new Windows computer, you should be able to see that those folders out there. The only problem is that the version of backup software that you were using, or the type of backup software that you were using, may not be the same as what you have on your new computer. That's kind of key here.
Oh.
All right. So now that you've got this drive over there and this new computer, if you had an old version of a backup software, how are you going to restore that data should you need to?
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
So half of the battle of a backup is A, understanding how the backup works if you need it. So you'd want to do a test on occasion. Assuming it will work is never good.
Right.
So you need to really kind of know what tool you were using. Is there a way for her to test, Dennis, as far as what file is created with a Windows backup? Is there a way for us to figure that out for her or help her?
Yeah, I'll find out just one second.
So we want to figure out what data is being created by the backup software. If it was Windows, it would create a dot something. I just can't think of what it is. And we want to see if you go look at that drive, what that dot something is.
It'll be BKF.
BKF
is the extension.
All right. So you want to go look at when you plug it into your new computer, go navigate over to that drive letter. It might be an E, might be a different drive letter. Who knows what it'll give you, G. And go and see if you have any .bkf files. If you do, that's a Windows backup file.
And it can also be BAK.
Yeah.
BAK. Okay. Yeah.
Then the big drum roll is if you bring up the Windows restoration or the Windows backup / restoration software, can you do a restoration? Your biggest question was, hey, is it going to overwrite stuff? Well, only if you tell it to. So in this case, you're going to tell it, if you want to, or practice a restoration if you have enough space. So you can create a folder called test restore, and you're going to run the backup software kind of quote-unquote in reverse. You're going to choose the latest backup file you have, the most recent one, and you're going to tell it to restore that file in the test restoration folder.
Yeah.
If all goes well, you had a successful backup. If it doesn't go well, you may not have had what you thought you had.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why the copy and paste method sometimes is easier for people if you're only doing it occasionally, where you just copy a folder from your C drive over to that to the hard drive itself, just copy the entire folder, and then disconnect the drive, and then it's not in some sort of special file type. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Yes. We're going to put some links up there for you how to use the Windows backup utility, okay?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Can I ask you one more question?
Out of time. If you want to hold over, you can.
I can hold over.
All right. We're going to hold you over through the news and get back to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios. Visit GetCarter.com. That's GetCarter.com. This is Computer Talk with Tab.
And we are back. And I forgot to tell you, after the 10 o'clock break, the computer here in the studio decided to do an update. Not my computer, but the studio computer we use to actually look at your phone calls. It's like, I'm going to update right now. Magically, it happened and was actually done within the period of time between the news, so I got lucky. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to see Denise's line here. Let's go over to Denise back again. She was on the line. We held her over. She had the hard drive issue. What's going on there, Denise? What was your second question?
My second question is, when I brought my and my brand new computer here to the Geek Squad, asking them to transfer all my files over, they threw everything up on OneDrive and then set my new computer up so that everything I try to save automatically defaults to OneDrive. Is there a way to change that?
There is. That's not cool.
No, it's not. It's not.
But, and they did it without telling you either.
Yeah. And
exactly.
In fairness, that's what will happen if you start up a Windows computer and then you get it going, and it'll lead you through the process of attaching to that and then having everything synced up with OneCloud instead. Yeah. But they should know better there and, you know, stop following the wizard at some point and then just set it up the way it should be.
So we can put some information out there, posted as far as how to undo that. Now, you got to be careful. Here's to your question, right? Here's your, you know, you don't want to lose your data, right? So
exactly, right.
This does happen when it comes to the cloud. When people sync, sometimes the synchronization will lose your data now. Like, so if you delete it off the OneDrive, you want me to synchronize that on your local machine too? And it'll delete it off your local machine too. So you got to be careful in this case. So here's where that backup is going to be critical before you undo this. You're going to want to take your folders and do that copy and paste to that external drive that we just talked about so that you can then disconnect it and know that all your data is there. Then you're going to follow the instructions that we're going to post as far as how to remove your data from the OneDrive and not use it going forward, which is your prerogative. And as long as it all goes well, OneDrive won't say, that means you want me to synchronize that thought on your local computer and delete everything off of it. Because that does happen, and we have seen it in our practice.
Yes.
That's why you need to have a backup for the cloud if you do use the cloud.
Right.
Which is ironic, I know, but that's that's how it works. So you're on the right track. I don't know why they did that without telling you, but again, most of these folks are just going to click next, 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 next.
Yeah, that's what they did.
And what are you going to do? So
Call you.
Well, here you go. We'll try to help you. We're just living every day as a dream here, trying to defend against what Microsoft does to us.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything.
Our pleasure, Denise. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. I mean, even here in the studio, you know, turn on Windows backup to OneDrive. I mean, it still nags you. Yeah. It's like, look, we'll do it if we want to, man. Leave us alone. We're going to go to Al in Storrs next. Hey, Al. Al, you there? Uh-oh, Al fell asleep. Hey, Al, you there?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, boy.
Huh?
He might be snoozing. Al might hit a dead spot, Carolyn's saying. We'll put Al back on hold. Maybe we'll get back on the line. As we wait for your calls, 860-522-9842 is the number. Do you have anything you want to bring up, Dennis, tech news-wise?
Well, yeah. We've talked in the past about the different problems that Tesla has had with what they call autopilot, which isn't really an autopilot.
Nope.
It's driving assistance, but it's not driving for you, even though they would like you to think that it is, and I don't know why, because that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, there's now a recall where they're going to be sending out an over-the-air update to all, I think, the entire fleet of Teslas. I could be wrong, but this is going out to everything.
I think it is, yeah. I think it's hitting everybody, and it has to do with like you said, the autopilot, but it's going to add more of a nag feature where you can't let the car drive without you touching the wheel, is what it's supposed to be doing.
Right.
It's supposed to improve that type of thing. So it's going to say, hey, yeah, you go ahead and try to use the autopilot, but you're going to need to keep your hands on the wheel, which is great because, again, these autopilot users keep driving into emergency vehicles parked on the highway, like fire trucks and stuff, because the autopilot doesn't see them, even though they're all lit up.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elon and his artificial intelligence, I mean, he is training those vehicles to look out for that. He's trying to make autopilot a thing, but it really isn't. And as we found out with Cruise, right? Cruise, how many are they laying off there?
Like several hundred, but they also let go of a bunch of executives too, which tells me that they're not only gutting the workforce, they're gutting the management structure.
Yeah.
So they're going to be fundamentally changing how that company runs.
Well, because I think we read an article where it was like you needed some sort of intervention every 2.5 miles or something like that.
Right.
And what that was an intervention of an engineer who was going to take over the driving function of your quote-unquote autonomous vehicle so that, you know, it would be able to navigate whatever problem it was having. And I guess they didn't really also talk about how it hurt a pedestrian. And I guess that information is starting to come out as far as how much they really did know about what that vehicle was doing and what it did to that person.
Right.
So I think we had a discussion recently with some friends about AI and how he was really nervous about AI and he was worried about, Skynet becoming active. And I reminded him, I said, you do realize that the robot did come from the future, but what did it have to do to find Sarah Connor? It went to the Yellow Pages.
Right.
So if it was so smart, it could send you back in time, but they didn't think to look her up before they went back in time. AI has got a long way to go. Again, there's smarter people than I that say we should be afraid, very afraid, but I don't know. I from what I'm seeing, I am not that afraid. Let's go to your calls. All of a sudden, you guys hopped on the old telephones here. We're going to try to help out Greg in Lebanon with a Mac question. Thankfully, Dennis is a Mac user. What's going on, Greg?
Yeah.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I'm going to make this real simple. I have a Mac. I've been using Macs for a long time. But my desktop Mac I can't even get into it anymore. Oh. I've tried calling our cable provider. I've even tried calling Apple, and they're just I think they're confounded. They don't know how to help me. I'm thinking of making the change over to a Microsoft product of some sort.
Okay.
How does that affect? Well, first off, I have a desktop. I'm thinking of going to a laptop.
All right.
I don't do any gaming. Basically, I use my computer for personal stuff like keeping track of bills and email, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make the change over to that without affecting my little phone that, of course, has all of the stuff from my Mac on it, and also a little iPad that I've got that is also, has all the stuff from our Mac? And do I need a desktop? If we're just doing pretty simple, basic stuff, can I use a laptop? I guess I'm looking for some advice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the thing. If you were backing up a lot of your stuff from the Mac to iCloud, you can get access to it on a Windows computer. You'll just be installing the iCloud for Windows, and it will sync back up with the Windows computer, and you'll get all that data on Windows. So that's not a barrier. As for the type of computer, it does sound like a laptop should be workable for you. I mean, you're not doing anything that really kind of demands a desktop. I don't see why that would be an issue.
As far as synchronizing his iTunes, he's going to have to load the iTunes software on the Windows.
Well, yeah, he'll have to get iCloud for Windows, and then he'll also have to get iTunes if he's got music
or
video and stuff.
Yeah, so that should resync.
And all that, yeah. That'll resync.
On a laptop. How much, what do I need? 16 gigabytes? What am I looking at, when I go to purchase something?
Our basic recommendation right now is a current generation processor. So 13th gen, i5 CPU would be plenty of power. 16 gigs of RAM or more, whatever you can afford. And then a terabyte solid state drive is nice. Half a terabyte is nice as well. Those are the basics.
Say that part again, please.
Either a terabyte or half a terabyte of solid state.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
And then Windows, it'll be Windows 11.
Windows 11? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have a, and maybe I don't know if you want to even answer this, do you have a product that you like better than others, like Hewlett Packard, Acer?
I've had good luck recommending the HP Envy line. We do a lot of HP professional laptops to our customers and clients. And my own kids, I recommended the HP Envy line, and all those laptops are still in operation, and all three kids have gone through college and are far out of college in some cases, and the laptops are still working.
Yeah, all right. Okay, good. All right. I think you've pretty much given me what I need. And as always, I listen to your program, and I enjoy it. Thanks very much, and have a wonderful holiday.
Our pleasure. Thank you. And one quick – I don't understand the Mac – folks aren't helping you. How old is that Mac?
It's not all that old. In fact, there was a update that they installed. Well, now it's going back 3 weeks or more. To a more updated program.
Yeah.
And that's when all of my problems started. I told them that they wanted to download to take that update away.
Yeah.
Right.
And then reinstall it.
Oof.
But the person I was working with had to go. So I think I've uninstalled that newest program.
Yeah.
But have not installed anything new after that. So I guess maybe I should be calling Apple back.
If you want to continue with it, yes, you should, especially if you paid for that service.
Well, yeah, no, this was pretty much, I think this was pretty much, you know, just I was talking to a technician, you know, technical support.
I'm Dr. Jonathan Aronow.
You know, they sounded, I think they were really interested in it.
Yep.
And in fact, I think a little stupefied, to be honest. But, you know, I didn't get very far. And I still can't use the computer. So I'll try them one more time.
All right. Well, you can come over to the dark side, the Windows operating system, and you can be disappointed there too. We're not promising you a rose garden. I hope we've been on this station long enough to hopefully you know that, right?
No, I do know that, but I'm just so frustrated right now that it's made it difficult.
I understand, Greg. Well, thank you very much for calling. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye bye, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. Don't forget, this is we have this show, then next week we're off.
Right.
It's the holiday store. So please, in the week, if you can, go to our website and click on the Salvation Army link there, and you can donate to support the Salvation Army and the WTIC holiday store. Kind of, if you felt we've helped you in the past and you want to pay it forward, as it were, and help somebody in need. It's a good way to do it. It's simple, it's easy, it's quick, it's secure, and you can support the Salvation Army, which more than 85 or 87% of the money is going to go to the people in need, and that's kind of nice. It's going to get where it needs to go, so that's all good. Let's go to your calls. Let's go try Al again to see if he's with us. Hey, Al, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's up? What can we do for you?
I was waiting and I had to get a cup of coffee.
No sweat.
That's all right.
That's okay, Al. What's up?
Sorry, guys. It's really a simple thing, but last Christmas I received a Dell computer with, I think, 11 on it. And my kids set it up, and the password was a phone number that I knew really well. Well, as it turns out, the number that I remembered was the wrong phone number. And after four or five attempts, it locked me out.
Right.
When I called Dell, they said that I was out of warranty assistance by just a few days, and they would charge me $100 to recover the password. So I thought that was kind of crazy, and I said, let me wait till next Saturday, and I'll give the guys a call, because it's always a very informative program. So is there a site where I can go that kind of makes it really simple?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to the Microsoft directly and have them help you.
Yes. Yeah, Microsoft can help you log in.
We had a similar call last week from a woman who was going to be charged $180 to do the exact same thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Microsoft, I hadn't thought of that at all.
Well, that's why. Well, for all the pitfalls of having a Windows Online account as your login on a computer, that's one of the benefits, because you can actually get tech support for logins.
Yeah.
If you need it. And on our website, we have posted the link that you need to go to. What you're going to do is, on another computer,
right,
log into this website, okay?
Yeah.
Microsoft's account page. Mm-hmm. And in there, you're going to see help options. And I think you can open up a chat session with them, and there should be a phone number in there to call. Do not, under any circumstances, go to Google and search Microsoft tech support phone number. Do not ever do that.
Right.
No, at no time. What I want you to do is to go to the account page and look for support options there.
Right. Use our link.
Yeah.
So, in summary, just go to Microsoft.com/support.
I believe it's account.microsoft.com. Without anything after.
Yeah.
I believe. Hang on.
Okay.
Yep. And if you're not sure, go to our site. You'll see it from last week's show.
Okay. Super. Hey, thank you guys very much. It's very entertaining and very useful oftentimes. So,
well, we try. We appreciate that, Al.
Yes, thank you. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is what it is, account.microsoft.com.
Very good.
Can't be much simpler.
And there is the outro music for the program. We will be on December 30th, so stick around for that. Dennis won't be, but we will be. We're going to drag Marco, our in-house manager, to join us. He's definitely going to be a treat to have on the air.
You're going to have a lot of fun with Marco, trust me.
Yes, we are. So he'll be joining us on the 30th. No show next Saturday. But please, if you think we've helped you in any way over the past 25, 30, whatever it is, years that we've been doing this, and you want to give back, use the link for the Salvation Army Holiday Store and make a donation of whatever you can afford to help folks make ends meet this holiday season. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over at the old Facebook page, over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. You're welcome to join. It is a private group. And thank you, Dennis, for posting everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Stick around. Dr. Alessi will be up next with Healthy Runs.
Remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.